It's birth, it's life, it's renewal, encouragement for the day. It is the Word of God, and it's right where we find ourselves today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Make it a point to join us as we study God's Word together. Coming to you from United Reformed Church here in Linden, this is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We welcome you to the broadcast and would invite you to join us for the next few moments as we open up God's Word, studying God's Word that we might find life. With this edition of Abounding Grace now, again from United Reformed Church here in Linden, once again, our teacher and pastor, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. If you were with us yesterday, you know we've been considering this wonderful truth that when the message is faithfully delivered, the results belong to the Spirit. And we can have confidence that He will do exactly what He will do, only that we be faithful in what we are called to do in preaching the Word of God in season and out of season. That's what Romans 10 says, of course. How shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Not everyone does that. Not everyone is sent to preach and to baptize. What we're seeing here is exactly what we believe and what we confess together as Christians. That the way that God chooses to change hearts is through a messenger being faithful to his calling to preach the word in season and out of season. And as we express confidence in that, God delights to save. He delights to change our hearts and the hearts of our children. Now, isn't that just what happens here in the text we've been considering this week? Paul comes to Philippi. He speaks the word. Lydia hears. And what do you read next? It's the most amazing verse in Acts. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. Let me give you a sense of this. The Lord did what? He literally opened her heart wide to literally hold on to, almost be addicted to, paying close attention to the words spoken by Paul. Isn't that beautiful? Who opens the heart? My friends, we don't open our hearts to the Lord, by the way. You can't do it. The whole notion of some sort of free will that says I can open and close my heart to the Lord totally ignores the message of the Bible and our state. Dead in trespasses and sins. The Lord is the opener of the heart. He opens people's hearts. He changes hearts so that what? They become addicted to the Word. That's what it literally says here. It's that she grasps and holds on to in the sense of being addicted to the word. It's all about God's powerful sovereignty. But the amazing thing is that he chooses to work through the foolish means of the message preached. That's what God delights to work through so that the glory goes to him, because we would never think that works. That's why probably a lot don't like to do it anymore. Because in our own fleshly insights, in our own fleshly appeals, we would never really think that this means is going to save. And yet when we tend to it, the Lord shows us how powerful he is as the Spirit falls on hard hearts. Hard hearts. As the Lord opens them wide to his truth. Now, Ezekiel learned this. Years ago, we have Ezekiel's understanding of how the gospel was preached. Remember what happened? We read that the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones. Now, pause. He's posing the question to Ezekiel. All these dead people are there represented by dead, dry bones. And he says, can they live? And Ezekiel says, well, you know if they can, Lord. And what does the Lord say to do? Prophesy to these bones. Preach to these bones. Say to them, oh, dry bones, here it is. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you, and bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. That's the kind of thing that happens in the preaching of the gospel. This opening is the kind of hearing that brings forth a circumcised heart, the kind of new birth that the Lord spoke of to Nicodemus. Now, if the Lord doesn't open the heart, now let me ask this question today, because we also know, in light of the fact that the Lord can harden the heart, I harden whomever I will, Romans 9. He hardened Pharaoh's heart. If the Lord doesn't open the heart, what kind of reaction do you think a faithful minister of the gospel will face? Well, what happened with Stephen? He gave the very same message, calling people to repentance. Here's what we read in Acts chapter 7. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. They heard and they stopped up their ears. Same message that Lydia heard, Cornelius heard, the Philippian jailer heard. Let me apply this all for a minute today as we close Abounding Grace and we consider everything that's been said about hearing the Word of God. If the Holy Spirit produces saving, justifying faith this way, do you think today in the church and even in your own lives and hearts that we give enough value to the message preached to come sit under it, to realize what happens when it is faithfully given? I recognize that there are a lot of churches that value this, but I'm not talking about just coming and listening to the word. I'm not talking about just attending worship. You can come, you can listen, and just be ho-hum as you head out of church and nothing has happened to your heart. For us and our children, let me ask this today. How are we preparing our hearts to hear the word of God every Sunday? Think about it. There's a great responsibility in how we hear. But Sunday is often treated as a day for sleeping in, that we do what we want. And do we ever stop and warm our hearts to Christ? Do we ever stop reflecting on what it means to come into worship? Are our hearts prepared? This is for us and our children God's way of granting faith, the foolishness of the message preached. What sort of value do we place on it? I can tell you right now, if your Sunday is get up, get dressed, eat, scramble to get there, without any reflection on your need, any reflection on the sins that you've committed, any need for your washing that the Savior gives, and you walk in and you're more concerned with who's there, what they're wearing, what the building looks like, what music you're going to sing today, and on and on and on. You grab the bulletin like a good newspaper before worship. You think your heart's prepared to hear? What are my attitudes coming in to worship? I can come with no excitement, no heart for it, hypercritical, acting as if it's a burden to be in church. You know, I want to swing again on the importance of sitting ourselves under the preaching of the gospel. We do that. Why do we do that? Is it putting you back under the law to say you should be in church? No. How can you tell people to come and receive the means of grace and to come to church and hear and receive the means of grace and say that's putting people under the law? This is God's way of saving. This is God's way of changing our hearts and our children's hearts. What about our children? What if you have a child whose heart is not changed today? Now, think about it. Think about what happens. Do I want to put my child under the word of God preached? Do I have confidence that if I do that, the Lord may make them alive through that? He's told us that he can make the bones rattle. He can put flesh on them. He can, like Lydia, open the heart wide forever so that the child receives the words of the Lord and his heart is changed. These are crucial questions that we have to answer about what we believe regarding the preaching of the gospel and the value that we place on it. I mean, think about our witness as salt and light in the earth. Many of you have friends and relatives who don't believe, or maybe are even apostatizing. And we've heard all these ways of what we have to do to bring them back or to, quote, get them saved. Parents get really mixed up when this happens. How strong do I be with my child? You can go in the direction of trying to be their friend, which of course never works, or you can hit them hard over the head in terms of making them feel convicted about their sins with the law. That doesn't work. Always harping. How do you move forward? Or what of the unbeliever? You know that you should talk to them, but you really don't know what to say. You've been told, as many have said, we're all ministers. We're all supposed to preach the gospel, and that's your mission. Well, you are to be salt and light in the earth, but you're not a minister of the gospel. So what do? Well, instead of worrying about what you're going to say and how you're going to approach it, why not bring them, my friends, to the very place where God has said he would specially work and save those who believe? Let that be our aim and goal, believing that as we make this a priority with a positive attitude of valuing the preaching of the gospel again, sitting our families under churches that faithfully tend to the expositional preaching of the word of God, the Spirit again may breathe upon us and our children and change dead hearts. Do we really believe that he can do that? Or have we lost confidence in that means? You see, this is the wonderful truth that's been revealed here on Abounding Grace this week in the Word of God that is constantly set before us, that in the wisdom of God, 1 Corinthians 1, the world through wisdom did not know God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. That's what he delights to work in. That's what he does for us and our children. So come. Find a church, I plead with you, that preaches the word in season, out of season, that preaches Jesus Christ, and the glorious truths as they strike your hearts, the Lord will open up your heart wide to hear it, and that you will then, from now on, be addicted to the word of God, to hear the word of God with profit, to the saving of your very soul. Our commitment to you at the Linden United Reformed Church is to preach the word in season and out of season. No gimmicks, no entertainment. We will expound the word of God, which we have full confidence in, is the power of God to save those who believe the message of Jesus Christ. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. at the Linden United Reformed Church. Our worship service times, visit us on the web at www.lindenurc.com. Also go to our blog, christopherjgordon.blogspot.com. Interact with the messages. We do thank you for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.